You're tuned to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. With KCBX News, I'm Tyler Pratt. 10 years ago, 18-year-old student Carson Starkey was involved in a fraternity hazing initiation ritual at San Luis Obispo's Cal Poly, where he was compelled to drink large quantities of alcohol. After becoming unresponsive, instead of taking Carson to the hospital, Sigma Alpha Epsilon members left Carson on a mattress out of fear of getting themselves in trouble. Carson never woke up. Carson died from acute alcohol poisoning. His blood alcohol level was 0.4. Saturday, December 2nd, 2018, marks the 10-year anniversary of Carson Starkey's death. Recently, I sat down with Carson's parents, Scott and Julia Starkey, along with Michael Eberhardt of With Us, which is a national network for peer accountability. We talked about what's changed in the past 10 years, the organizations they created to help foster that change, and what's being done this week to remember Carson and to keep a death like his from happening again.
We're here today to bring awareness to some of the pitfalls and downfalls of why we lost Carson, to bring awareness to people helping one another so it doesn't happen to their son or daughter or their brother or sister. And we hope that the message that everyone hears is share our story, help one another, and be a good friend.
Okay. And for those people listening that don't know, what happened to Carson?
Well, Carson, we were from Austin, Texas, and Carson chose Cal Poly for architectural engineering, and he came out here and started school and then soon contacted us and said he wanted to join a fraternity, and that was something that we hadn't talked about with him, but we supported him because he wanted to meet new friends and make new friends, and so he did. And during a fraternity initiation ritual, he was compelled to drink Everclear and other hard alcohol to a point of unconsciousness, and he was left on a mattress and never woke up. So we started a nonprofit to educate on the signs and dangers of alcohol poisoning back in Texas, and we quickly grew to the San Luis Obispo area and then other areas in California, and ultimately we've moved out here to run that organization and have just recently gifted it to Cal Poly.
When y'all came out here following his death, what attracted you to stay in San Luis Obispo following everything that happened?
I would have to say the community here. When we flew out to come get Carson and bring him home, in my mind, I thought we would never, ever come back here.
We actually talked about that. Well, when we left on the flight, we said to each other, we'll never be back here.
And it couldn't have been further from the truth. The community here was so awesome, from the police detective that was on our case to everyone at Cal Poly to strangers on the street that, you know, heard our story, saw our names. And it was an overwhelming sense of community here that just drew us here. And, of course, the weather is a lot different than the weather in Texas. So
it really is.
Yes.
That's what kept him here.
Carson's death fostered some changes in San Luis Obispo and the culture at Cal Poly. Can you speak on that?
Yes, there were a lot of changes that came after Carson's death with the fraternity, SAE. One of the first things that we asked them for was to eliminate pledging, because we felt like that was one of the number one reasons that Carson died, was because of the hazing during pledging. That didn't come about right away, but a few years later, they did eliminate pledging, and that was awesome.
And that was of their own accord. That wasn't
in
our agreement.
Right.
And this is of the national fraternity?
Yes. Yeah.
Cal Poly did a number of things that they still do today. Hazing hotline. They had deferred rush for a while. Many other things Michael might can speak to, that a lot of the Greek organizations.
We had SAE start a policy of listing their past infractions on their website so future parents could go and look and see, you know, what was dangerous, what chapters were dangerous, and had a history of problems.
Cal Poly does that as well.
Well, go ahead and tell me about your role in all of this, Michael.
Sure. So I got connected with this organization about a year ago now, but my connection to Carson actually started when I was an undergrad. I did my undergrad at Fresno State. I was actually joining my fraternity the same time as Carson. And I was being initiated in my fraternity the same week that Carson was dying. And his story rocked the entire California State University. And that was really one of the first times that, you know, I really questioned how dangerous alcohol use could be. You know, I was a freshman in school, dabbling in that myself, and it really just made that issue so real. And there was actually a death at Fresno State while I was in school as well in 2011. And so, yeah, my being a part of it as an undergrad and kind of throughout my professional career, when this position opened up, I just was kind of drawn to it. And then once I met Scott and Julia during my interview, it just kind of sealed the deal that I knew that this is where I wanted to be and where I wanted to commit my life to really help and promote what this organization was all about and what With Us is attempting to be growing forward. Yeah.
Now, it's probably not a surprise to a lot of people that alcohol culture and hazing comes with Greek life and fraternity culture, but it is pushed to an excess that many people don't know about. Is that correct?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't say it's just Greeks. I think this is definitely a college student issue. You know, coming into college, there is kind of this expectation that you're going to drink, and that's just part of the culture. But I would say that Greek organizations and just organizations in general that create kind of a peer-to-peer pressure to, you know, impress each other definitely ups the ante when it comes to things like drinking.
Well, tell me a little bit about this organization that y'all created in Carson's honor.
Yeah, so I wasn't a part of Aware Awake Alive, but that's really, you know, was the catalyst for all this. Aware Awake Alive had tremendous success leading up to the founding of With Us. And Aware Awake Alive was something that I was exposed to as a student and has been on campuses across the California State University, on campuses across the country.
Can you tell me, what is
Aware Awake Alive? Is a peer-to-peer alcohol poisoning education program. There's a series of awareness campaigns and discussion guides and videos that are open access and free for any student or educator to use. You just got to go to the website and do a quick sign up, and all the tools are there for your use. So it's really intended to empower the student to lead these discussions, but there's other ways you can utilize it. Cal Poly is a great example of that. It's used within their orientation program. So every new student at Cal Poly goes through an Aware Awake Alive presentation. They have an awareness gallery where they walk through and kind of see images of Carson and what happened, and just trying to make that story very real for everybody. So different campuses utilize it in different ways.
Tell me some of the thoughts that y'all had behind founding this organization.
When we first started, it was a way to stop this from happening for any other family. And we sat around and, what do we do with this? Do we target hazing? Do we target alcohol poisoning? There were a lot of good hazing groups out at the time. We thought there's really not an organization out there that's targeting alcohol poisoning. And we were guided to find one thing and go for it and do it really well. So that's why we started Aware Awake Alive with our mission of saving young people from alcohol poisoning. And it kind of narrowed down to two things we found in listening to the stories of the students that were involved, is they didn't know the signs of alcohol poisoning and they didn't know what to do. And they were afraid. And they were afraid to make the call for help. And so those were the two things that we really targeted on, was the education around alcohol poisoning and then what to do, how to make that call, when to make the call, and not to be afraid to make the call.
And for anyone listening right now, is there any advice that you have for recognizing those signs?
Sure. I think one of the things that I think a lot of students, probably the number one thing they think is that passing out is okay. In many instances, passing out is not okay. And especially in Carson's, he didn't wake up. So blacking out, feeling blue, they're turning blue, feeling clammy, throwing up is not always okay. So, you know, just watching for all the signs, and I think probably the number one thing is staying with someone. I think a lot of times they think they're just going to sleep them off, so they, as in Carson's case, they put them on a mattress and left. And you just can't do that. And that's why our message is, you know, helping one another. Don't leave your friend on a mattress. Don't leave a girlfriend with a guy that doesn't look like things are going well. Don't haze. You know, help one another.
You asked about the conceptualization of this in the beginning, and it was very important to us. We at least felt like that the success of this was going to be peer-to-peer messaging, because we're parents, we're old people, educators are an authority figure, and that it would be much more successful if we could design a program where students could teach students, and because they'd listen to each other. And so that was really big on our list, to keep it peer-to-peer.
Well, I'm so glad that y'all have been doing this work. What have you seen change over the past decade?
Over the past decade, it's difficult to put a number on how many students have been saved. Unfortunately, we hear mostly about the students that didn't make it. But that number, I feel like, has lowered quite a bit, especially in the campuses that we've been identified with. So we've seen those numbers, and the number of people who've actually, you know, been bystanders, and what we are calling now upstanders, someone who stands up and does something about it. We've seen those numbers really increase. So that's been awesome to hear that there's been some surveys, which Michael Mike could speak to, that are showing that our messaging has really helped people to know what to do and to stand up and make that choice.
There's some peak times of year where these things happen, like Initiation Week in the Greek world, Pledging Week, Halloween, stuff like that. And we've seen the transports to the hospital go up, which is actually a good sign. It's not that there's more people drinking. It's actually that more people are intervening and getting the person to the hospital. So we were real stoked about that.
Yeah, and I think one thing we haven't touched on yet is medical amnesty, and that's really a big part of what Aware Wake Alive is all about.
What is that?
Medical amnesty is basically anyone that's experiencing an overdose, drugs or alcohol for some policies and laws. If you're underage, or if you're in possession of that, or if you've even provided that, calling for help to help this person will not result in you getting in any kind of legal trouble. A lot of college campuses have adopted similar policies. Cal Poly has one, for example. You know, if you have a friend in the dorms that is intoxicated and you get them help, even though you were drinking in the dorms, which is against the rules, you won't be, you know, held accountable for that as far as like being kicked out of school. You'll probably still have some kind of educational follow-up, but removing that fear really is so essential to this. You know, they shared what happened in Carson's situation. You know, the kids were afraid. They were afraid to get in trouble, and that fear really is what made them make the poor decision to not do anything.
What advice do you have for parents that are looking to send off their kids to school?
In our case, I feel like we talked to both of our sons about everything. We talked about sex. We talked about drinking. We talked about drinking and driving. We were very open. But the one thing that we didn't know about was alcohol poisoning. So it was always, in my mind, a big goal to get to parents so that they have those opportunities to have discussions before they go off to high school, before they go off to college. Because just recognizing the signs and, you know, having a card in their wallet, or, you know, just knowing they may not even be drinking, but being able to recognize the signs of a friend in need, we found that has been really important.
We want to emphasize the more of a core issue of helping one another, and that can start at an even younger age. I mean, little kids need to be taught that they need to help their fellow human beings, and as we get older, that gets a little cloudy, you know, with rationalizations and stuff, but that everyone has this core ability to help others, and I think that just building on that is a real key.
Yeah. Made me think about so many things I was so afraid to talk to my parents about growing up, and how important it actually is to do. What's coming up in the future of the organization? What do we have to look forward to in the years coming up?
Yeah, lots of exciting things. As we mentioned, Scott and Julia donated Aware Wake Alive to Cal Poly, and that's really where I came into the picture to get with us off the ground. With us is a research center on campus at Cal Poly, and we're all about bystander intervention, as we keep saying. Helping one another really is the foundation, and our vision is to create communities that look out for each other, regardless of the issue. Removing that fear to help, creating awareness around the issues so they can recognize it as a problem and doing something about it. And so our big initiatives include research around bystander intervention and college student behavior. We have a national bystander survey that just launched, is going to launch in January. It's in the process right now. And upcoming, one of our most exciting things, and really why we're here today, is talk about Upstander Week, which is going to be a time to remember Carson. The week leading up to December 2nd, which is 10 years since we lost Carson, is going to be a week of different messaging around being an upstander, being someone that when you see something wrong, you do something about it. You do something to help others. And so, yeah, we have a lot of exciting things coming from that week.
If someone listening wants to be involved in that or learn more, where can they go?
Absolutely. Great question. I'm glad you asked. There will be a landing page on our website at withus.org. Most of our campaign messages will go out through social media and through other e-communications. Our big ask is to sign the Upstander Pledge, basically a series of statements that you'll do what it takes to help others, you'll take responsibility, you'll live your life with urgency, which is what Carson was all about. And to learn about some of the other messages that we are talking about, which include how to be an active bystander. So we talked a lot about the signs of alcohol poisoning, for example. The first step of being a bystander is recognizing that something's wrong. And so very similar to the signs of alcohol poisoning, recognizing a situation where someone might be at risk of sexual violence or there's a hate and bias issue that might be coming into play. Preparing those students to recognize those issues and giving them the skills to intervene and make a difference.
Well, Michael Eberhard with the With Us organization, thank you for coming in. And Scott and Julia Starkey, I'm so sorry for your loss, but thank you for the good work that you're doing, and we're so lucky to have you in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
You're tuned to KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio.